Welcome to I Love to Watch You Play, the podcast that educates, entertains, and inspires for the person who wants to be the best version of themselves. My name is Buell Gonzalez. I'm here with Chris Schofield, part two of our interview. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks, Buell. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. We are here today to discuss specifically parenting and coaching. I know that you are a parent.
I am.
Yes, you are. And
a coach. I fill both roles, sometimes very poorly.
Yes. Here with Chris, we're going to discuss parenting. Parenting specifically as it revolves around coaching and those kids that you deal with on a daily basis. You'll also deal with their parents. I've asked you a couple questions about that, but I'm also going to ask you questions as a parent yourself.
Okay.
So you can give us some insight, give the listeners some insight into that aspect of
how to be a mediocre parent, because I've got that filled really well.
Your wife would probably is a huge
That's
part
who we
of
need
that.
On the show.
Exactly.
She's much better at this whole parenting
exactly.
thing.
Well, you've seen that firsthand, so you could give us
I'll tell you what she would do.
Yes, good. Chris, what do you see as the role parents play in athletics and their student athlete's life?
I think they play a critical role in their student athlete's life. I think it becomes easy as a coach to I used to joke, I didn't tell the joke, but a friend I coached with in Wisconsin would laugh that if we could just find an orphanage somewhere to coach at with no parents around, it would be so easy. And parents can really be hard for coaches. I've never met a parent who isn't coming at it with their best, with the best interest of their student, with the best interest of their child at heart. And I come at it from a different place as a coach. My best interest is my thoughts are the best interest of the team, which don't always coincide what a parent might think is the best interest of their child. And sometimes those things conflict. Sometimes the message they're getting at home is not close to what's actually happening or being shared at practice. And sometimes we just miss. As coaches, my goal is to reach all of our kids and impact each of them in a positive way. And I don't. I'm better with some kids than others. I have seen over my career that usually has very little to do with playing time and oftentimes a lot more to do with personality. There are kids that are really easy for me to reach and other kids that it takes some time. And sometimes I'm successful and you eventually find some ways to reach them, and other times I'm a colossal failure and don't get to them at all. But the parents are critical. You know, it's easy to look at little younger kids and say, boy, we need them there on time. And that's important, that supportive role. But they're more than just taxi drivers. I think sports, especially at the high school level, at the varsity level, are really difficult. If they're being done correctly, if you don't care about them, they're really soft and easy, but you never are successful long term. But if you're really competing and really working and really holding kids accountable, they're going to leave practices and games sometimes really upset, really struggling. Not that you're trying to create that. You never want that for a kid, but that's part of the growth. That's part of their process as an athlete getting better.
And well, I think you would, as an adult going through your life, I think you have had many opportunities, many exposures to instances where you didn't have success, where you didn't get exactly what you wanted. And I think, I know you sent me an article recently about the soccer moms or soccer dads or somebody, there was some sort of soccer contest where they had a day of silence. And then they talked to the athletes and the parents who were there and how that had an impact.
Yeah, I think that's a role the parents can really play at home, is that of support for your kid and support for the program as well. I think a parent always has a right to be heard, especially if they feel their child's unsafe. That's a whole different ball of wax. But hey, my kid is really a natural born wide receiver and you've got him playing tackle. Well, that's tough. That's I'm putting the needs of the team ahead of the needs of your child. I am always, and this is going to sound terrible, I'm far less concerned about your student's scholarship opportunities than I'm about our student's growth, our team's growth as a team, wins and losses, character development. And I know a lot of parents don't like to hear that, but one of the best things they can do is be supportive at home I know one of the best things my dad would ever do, I would come home, because we all go through that. We all fail. And I was convinced, I was a really good athlete in high school. I was a really good small school athlete. Take that for what it's worth. And I can remember coming home and venting to my mom and my dad that I am the worst basketball player in that school. Or I would come home from games and my mom laughs that three sons in a row complained about setting turnover records in high school. in basketball, we were just, you have games where you're just awful, or you have practices where maybe you didn't think you were awful and coach never let up on you. And it's hard. And I would come home, and one of the first things my dad would say, if he happened to be there, I always liked having those conversations with my mom, because she would emotionally hold me and make things better and give me emotional ice cream, and it was all good. And my dad looked at me one time, he said, "Well, Chevron's hiring. I worked all through high school. You don't have to do this." And every time he said that, it was like, okay, do I want to go work? It was, hey, I got wood to get cut this weekend, so you're going to a football game on a Saturday down in Medford, or you and I can go cut wood. So you make a choice, but you don't have, this is extracurricular.
Right.
You don't have to do that. And it was always eye-opening to me that, okay, A, do I want to do this? Is this really where I want to be? Well, I don't want to go work. I got the rest of my life to do that. Right. And sports is fun. So that always, as aggravating as it was at the time, that always really helped, coming from my dad, that no, I don't have to make it better. You just have to make a choice.
Well, because we had talked about this in preseason meetings, where you want your parents' wants and needs to mirror the wants and needs of the student athlete. And all too often, those don't align. So kids will go home, and that's where the soccer conversation comes in, where they just want to play and have fun. And then you have parents who, it's all about winning. It's all about some sort of fairness or some perception of, some sort of justice not being served, but playing time, whatever it is. I've always thought that was interesting. I always thought the most important relationship you can have in your student athlete's life would be the one that you hope the parent just lets them go.
Absolutely.
Just releases them to
just
the
lets them go. Hear them, listen to them, let them vent, give them that safe place at home where they can and they can complain. But you don't have to validate it.
Right.
And you may feel the same way. Boy, my boy's basketball coach is an idiot, but I don't have to say it because it isn't productive. He will have a greater experience if he thinks he's playing for the best basketball mind on the South Coast. And that's what we let him think. Right, Buell?
We let him
think his basketball coach is brilliant and that he cares about him, which he does, and that he's thinking only of him and his success. Does that mean Buell and I always agree on every decision that's ever made? Of course not, because we're two different people. But our kids' experiences are better when they're allowed to have those experiences, and it's their experience, not my experience. It is hard, and I know we were going to wait a little bit to jump into this from a parent standpoint, but it is hard sitting in the stands and watching your kid fail. We don't do anything else like that. We don't drag the community in to come watch them take a world history test,
right,
and have their answers shown on the board so everybody knows exactly how they're doing throughout it. I mean, and we do that with sports. We drag them out
every Friday night. We have a football game.
Exactly. And we put the scoreboard on.
Right.
And so, there's no hiding.
Right.
You're either doing your job and you're winning the game or you're not.
Right.
And boy, it's tough. And
there's a page in the paper dedicated
to it. Yeah. Absolutely. It's tough to watch your kids struggle and fail, but if you can remember as a parent what the long-term goal is, and I think sometimes we're so invested in their success in the here and now, we forget that long-term success, and we sacrifice some of those successes for long-term, for short-term success. They don't get the lessons they need to be successful long-term.
In part one of our podcast, you talked about relationships and the relationships that you have with your kids and how that's huge. And you find your passion in dealing with that relationship. If you were to take that relationship on the parent side, how does your relationship with your son, who is going to be a junior, is one of the better players.
Going to be a senior.
That's
not
right.
Not a junior anymore.
Not a junior. Yeah, that's right.
You got one more year.
School's out. Yeah.
For better or worse.
So, what's the that relationship that you have with Brig? How have you cultivated that where he doesn't look to you or look for your acceptance and he can still find growth? How do you assure that? Like, what do you do to make sure that happens?
Well, let's preface my answer with, I have made every mistake and tried everything every other parent has. Because ultimately, I want my kid to be successful and have fun. And I think those two are synonymous. If he's enjoying himself, it's successful. However, sometimes, and every parent of his age group can tell you the same thing because we've been at a lot of games together. Most games, I'm really good at just sitting there clapping politely because I can't be loud and boisterous, or I'm not very smart and I say things. And especially I can remember moments in junior high and small gyms where the parents are right on top of the referees and literally during gameplay having back and forth discussions with officials that, first of all, I'm wondering, why is this guy engaging me? Why doesn't he just tell me to shut up and be done with it? And secondly, why am I responding? This isn't my thing, and it has never been good for my kids. It makes for some embarrassing stories afterwards, but it has, that has never, other than me feeling better about myself getting the last word in, it's never been productive in any sense of the word. And I found that the more hands-off I can be, and I know that flies in the face of all we want to do as parents, but the more hands-off I can be, I don't put my kids through workouts. I don't do that stuff. I do whatever they ask me to do. And if they want to go to the gym and be left alone, I'll go supervise them. If they want to go to the gym and my son or my daughter, who's also in high school now, say, hey, I want to work on this, or I want to work on getting to the rim and finishing with contact. Well, I've been doing this a long time. I have and can devise drills to get you there. But what I find more often than not is they feel like this is their thing and they want to work through it. And they want to, they're not stupid either. They know, he knows he might be struggling with this. He knows when he has shot poorly. He doesn't need me to take him in the gym and say, okay, do this, do this, do this. But it goes a lot further when I wait for him to ask the questions. Hey, what am I doing here? How come I can't hit a free throw right now? And we talk about form, we talk about some of those things, about holding, whatever the case may be. And he's much more open to that, and it's a more positive experience for both. We were coming back from a summer game Thursday, and I had a van full of high school girls in the car, including my own daughter, who will be a sophomore this next year. And we were talking about least favorite and favorite games they've ever played. And of course, they all had different stories. And it was interesting. Very few of the favorites had to do with winning so much. And they were all wins, but had more to do with the experience and the way it happened, the fun surrounding it. And my daughter just very bluntly said, well, this game at this particular time, you ruined for me. I was so upset. And I knew exactly which game she was talking about because I made the mistake of coaching her through some stupid things she had done during the game. And as a coach and a parent, I sit there and say, I was right. I know what I was saying was right. And you were doing it wrong. And as a parent, I look at it and say, that wasn't my role. And I ruined it for her. And she was in tears, wouldn't talk to me after the game. I was annoyed and wanted to just stab somebody. It was not a pretty picture all around. And I wasn't her coach at the time. I didn't need to be on her. I needed to celebrate her and cheer her and her teammates on. I find it much more enjoyable as a parent when I just cheer for all the kids and their success. And then it doesn't become about my kid and why he's got two fouls, but why is he pulled out? He can play through that. That coach needs to, no. It's the team. I can cheer for his replacement just as well as I can cheer for him. And then it becomes a lot of fun. You become invested in other people's kids.
Sure.
You become invested as a parent in the team. And then it becomes easier to have those conversations at home.
Right.
That really tough when you win and you win a big game and your kid comes home and complains. Really tough to listen to that as a parent. Well, did your team win? Is this about you or is it about your team? But if you're only invested in that one child, it becomes really easy to become blinded.
Right. One of the things that I've appreciated about, you know, the past 6 years is the time that we spent, but your wife plays a huge role.
Absolutely.
In what you guys do. And your ability to have, you know, to continue to do what you want to do and the success that you've had. What is it about Cindy that makes her a good coach's parent? Coach or athlete's parent, but coach's wife.
Well, those are two drastically different roles, and I get to see both. And she has always played the coach's wife really well. if you know my wife at all, you know she is not a doting
right.
second string. She's very independent woman, very bright, very self-sufficient. She doesn't need me in her life to be fulfilled. She doesn't need basketball to be fulfilled. But having said that, she does a lot of things for both programs because she loves her husband and she loves her kids. She is supportive. She allows. A lot of it is just being understanding of the time. Knowing that, hey, right now we're in the middle of summer and I'm out of town on Tuesdays and Thursdays. When I'm not out of town, we're in the gym working. We were laughing the other day. I saw her Saturday morning and said, hey, it's really good to see you. We haven't seen each other for a few days. Basketball season must have started again. And we go through that a lot. And it's becoming a little easier as our kids get older. It was really hard when we had little kids. I can remember in Montana, her getting rides to games with a three-month-old Brig, carting him everywhere and being told which gyms, don't go to that one because those people are crazy. You might not make it out alive. And it's like, where have we moved to that our lives are in danger for a JV girls basketball game? This is terrifying, but has always been very supportive. Frankly, there are parts of the program we turn over to her because she's way smarter than me.
Sure.
Our fundraising, she's just way better at it than I am. She'll come up with an idea, and I'm internally, because I can't ever show it because I'm scared of her, rolling my eyes that, oh, this is the dumbest thing. And then we get done, and we've made a ton of money, and the kids have had a blast, and right. the team's gotten stronger because of it. And it's like, why do I never think you're not brilliant? Of course you're brilliant. Get out of your way. And then the parenting side is different, and I think it helps having me coaching because she hears a different side of things. I know that she is more patient and more willing to give coaches the benefit of the doubt when she sees things that are a grave injustice against her children, whatever grade level they may be, whether it's third grade playing rec league soccer on Saturday or varsity boys basketball. Stuff happens and you are just convinced that that coach hates your child. And having me as a coach, I think, tempers some of that initial reaction that, okay, Chris has probably done the same things and probably had parents. So what's really behind it? She's more willing to take a step back. And of course, she's always involved and wants to do whatever she can to help the team and does a really good job with all those kids are out there busting their tails, having fun. And she's really supportive of all of them. You won't hear her say a negative word about any of the kids on the team. I'll say negative words about all of them. Stop right. turning the ball over.
Right. Well, I've always thought that she was very competitive.
Yes, and absolutely.
I want you to give me a Cindy Schofield competitive story.
Okay. So, and this has nothing to do with basketball. I could tell Cindy competitive stories all day long, but she, her dad is a nationally ranked table tennis player.
Yep, I knew that.
Has traveled literally worldwide, and their basement at home, the centerpiece in the basement is a table tennis table. He has like a self-serving thing that serves at him so he can work on different returns. Ping pong balls. You can't call it ping pong because that's a brand. It's table tennis. When did I learn that? When I married into this racket crazy family. I'll just say she took badminton lessons, private badminton lessons in high school. That's how racket crazy this family is. The basement is chock full of just boxes of trophies and awards. He has won all over the world. He's at the age now, he's in his 70s, where he likes it when he hits like a five-year landmark. Because he goes into a higher age bracket, which means A, more people have died, and B, his ranking jumps.
He moves up the ranking. Yeah.
And so he gets really excited about that. I've played against him a couple of times. He'll play against me left hand. I've never scored on him before in my life. I'm not an amateur ping pong player by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not very good. But his son, Cindy, has one brother who is really, really good. I've seen him score on his dad one time. And at this point, he's had eye surgery. You know, we laughed that he's the best blind table tennis player we've ever seen. So knowing that background, we were in Wisconsin, and it was a three-day weekend for some reason, and we had some team activity. We had set up some table tennis tables at the school in the gym, and we're playing, and then Cindy and I and the kids we had, I don't even remember which kids we had at the time, but we were a fairly small family. We were still young and fun and did fun things. And right. so we stayed, and she was about 7 months pregnant, maybe eight, maybe nine. She was far enough along that the size of her belly and reaching over the table was an issue. It is the only time I've ever beaten her, because I ran her ragged from one side of the table to the other and have not played her again, because she continues to demand a rematch, and I'm ending on a winning streak. And although she had every excuse in the book to lose that game, she was not very happy about it. She, again, is hyper-competitive and was not very thrilled about it at all. She has her own handmade tennis racket, table tennis racket her dad made her. They're crazy. Pretty in impressive. That family.
From Indiana, of
course. Indiana, from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Yeah, yeah.
So we go back there regularly. We'll be back there this summer and see some really high-level, crazy table tennis that I will not partake in because it's bad.
Because you'll get beat.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want
to. And they talk trash, and it's not okay.
No, it's not. So we mentioned earlier that we were going to talk about parenting and coaching and leadership and things like that. So give me what you think the similarities of all three are, of being a good coach, coaching student athletes, being a good parent of a student athlete, and then compare those leadership wise and how are they similar? What are some things that traits that those people have or those that those positions require to have success?
Well, I think there's probably a lot of different ways to parent your kids that can be successful. I think there's a lot of different ways to coach that can be successful. I am very similar my coaching style to my parenting style. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it allows me to tell the girls that during basketball season that, yes, I'm coming down on you hard right now. Yes, I'm demanding excellence out of you, but it doesn't mean I don't love you. It doesn't mean I dislike you just because I said, no, we're not going to keep throwing the ball up in the stands and this is how you're going to overcome it. Because we do the same things at home that, no, you're not going to behave that way. No, you are going to have responsibilities. You are going to get your chores done. Or this is the consequence. And on the basketball court, it's oftentimes playing time, which is like gold to kids. I mean, that's why they come out for the sport, because they want to play. And I think sometimes with coaching in particular, it's hard for kids sometimes to remember or to see that accountability doesn't mean a lack of care. And I would argue it's the exact opposite, that if I don't hold you accountable, whether you're my child or whether you're my player on my team, I don't care about you. If I allow that behavior as an athlete or as a player, as a child at home, I don't care enough about your long-term well-being to insist better. If I don't make you make your bed, if I don't hold you to that standard, I really don't care about your future wife, who's not going to be very happy that you've never done laundry in your life or never cleaned anything up, because that's not fair to her and it's not fair to you. And I feel the same way on the basketball court. So a lot of those things I guess I'm just the same person in a lot of ways. I would think as far as leadership goes, that's what I think. That's one of the major things we're trying to do, is teach leadership. And whether it's on the basketball court or in the family, I don't think there's any difference between teaching kids how to pick up a teammate who's struggling and picking up a sibling who's really going through a tough time. There's no difference between teaching kids to be aware, hey, just clean up the water bottles under your bench. I shouldn't have to say anything about it at the end of a game. And they do it. And that's the last time I have to say anything about it. There's no difference between that and teaching your kids to take out the trash because it's time to take out the trash, not because your name's on a list that says you have to take out the trash. And I think those are lessons that can be taught in either arena. Ultimately, when it's working correctly, when it's working the way high school sports are intended to work, I think that parents are supporting what the coaches are trying to accomplish and teach on the court, and we're doing the same thing. I just had this conversation with a parent the other day that we're not here to talk you into letting your kid with bad grades or your kid with a bad attitude. We're not trying to weasel her way out on the court. We're trying to reinforce some of those tough arguments, those tough conversations you're having at home. We're here to support you. A lot of times, the same words coming from a different voice are suddenly brilliant. Right. I can say the same thing a parent is saying, and all of a sudden, oh, they listen. We have it happen with our kids at school that we tell our kids one thing and then they come home the next day. Oh, my teacher said this today. And it's like, I could just die right now. I've been telling you that for 6 months and you just wouldn't listen. But now your teacher says the exact same thing as a genius. Well, we can get upset about that, or we can be grateful that at least there's adults in their lives that are able to reach them. And I think when it's done well, which is hard to do, and I don't think any of us are perfect at it, I think we complement each other in both phases. They are able to support and help what we're doing on the court, and vice versa. We're able to reinforce some things and complement the teaching they're trying to do within the home. Even without, we don't have to sit down and have a lesson plan between the two of us and make sure we're all on the same page. We're not trying to teach things that hopefully aren't being taught in the home, you know, leadership and accountability and being really good people. I would hope that each of our parents want those things for their kids too.
Give me, we got 2 minutes. Okay. So give me a story of a kid that you've coached in the past 20 years that...
Boy, that makes me sound really
old. Yeah. That's been your biggest, that you would consider one of your biggest successes, or... Maybe not the biggest success, but something that you take a lot of pride in that worked out really well.
Boy, I have some. I think there's a lot of stories like that. Kids that, and I'll tell you, coaching boys and coaching girls are drastically different. Coaching boys, a lot of times you don't hear things until 20 years later. That
right.
Hey, coach, you run into them, or they hit you up on social media. Thank you so much for this and this and this, and you're saying I didn't even know you remembered who I was at this point. I didn't know I had any impact. And girls, again, these are stereotypes, but typically speaking, you know where you stand with them. I very rarely don't know when girls are ready to riot and right. leave, or they're also much more expressive and open the other way, that they're far quicker to thank you for things that you've done for them. I won't share any recently because we can all do the math and figure out which kids I'm talking about here. But if I go out of state, I can think of a young man that, oh man, he was hard. Just really hard-headed. He was about a 6'2", left-handed point guard. So anybody who's outside of here knows exactly who I'm talking about. And he was, his talent was good. His belief in his talent was spectacular. Hmm. He believed he was one of the greatest athletes ever to walk the planet. And it was hard. He and I butted heads, and we did it very rarely, saw things the same way. The good thing was his dad actually kept book for us for a time and saw some things and always was very supportive and just very, this isn't my journey, it's my son's journey. And by the time he was a senior, we had kind of come full circle, and I was able to just give him free rein. He was another voice. His teammates would laugh. His classmates who had been with him for 4 years would laugh when he would say stuff on the court that sounded like me. Phrases, terminology, same thing, holding kids accountable. And I was so comfortable with him as a leader that we just turned a lot of things over to him and gave him more free rein than most kids I've ever coached. That, no, I trust you. And that was 4 years in the making, because I was sure after his freshman year that he and I are not going to make it. One of us will be here in 4 years and the other one won't. And I knew I was stubborn and I'd still be there. And he was, to this day, we remain close on, we're able to see each other on social media. And when we go back in the summer, we'll go back this summer and I'll see him then. And it's always rewarding to see a difference you made in a kid's life as he's kind of come full circle. Because
he's old.
He's old, and which makes me super old at this point.
All right, cool. Well, Chris, thanks. Appreciate your time and effort. Again, this has been I Love to Watch You Play, and we're signing off.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
You bet.
You're tuned to 100.7 FM KCIW LP in Brookings, Oregon.